Okay, so this is our second shiur on the topic of mitzvahs tshuva. So in the first shiur, we started developing three different approaches in terms of the mitzvah of tshuva. The first approach, I'll just chazer them really quickly. First approach being that there is no independent mitzvah of tshuva. That's approach number one, not a mitzvah at all. Okay, different versions of that, but that's the first approach. Second approach was that there is an independent mitzvah of tshuva, independent from any other mitzvah. It's completely independent. That's approach number two. And approach number three was that it's a mitzvah, but it's sourced in the mitzvah of vidur. So now we're going to develop the fourth approach, which might be the most mechudash approach, and definitely some of the nuances within it, which are definitely mechudash as well. So the fourth approach is to say that the inyan of tshuva is a mitzvah, but the makor for this mitzvah of tshuva is the original averos that you committed. Namely, when you violate a particular avera, let's say you eat an avera, so that original avera is mechayev you to do tshuva for having violated that avera. Sounds wild, right? Because when you present it with this approach, you're basically, you present it with two things, and there seems to be like a major gap between them, right? You have seemingly an Isser, let's say the particular Isser Prati, the Isser Nevela, which seems to tell you not to violate, not to eat the Nevela, and somehow we have to connect that original Lav, that original Avera, to Bimchayv you in Tshuva. So how do you, bridge that gap? So we're going to see there are two opposite ways to bridge that gap. Again, you have the Isser Nevela here, and then it seems to be the mitzvah of tshuva up here, because it seems the mitzvah of tshuva seems to include much more than just not violating the avera. So you see there are two ways to bridge the gap. Either you narrow the scope and gedder of tshuva, and what seems to be this grand mitzvah of tshuva is really nothing more than just the avera. It's one version we're going to see. Or the opposite. Or are you going to expand the gedder of the original avera such that it can be mechayev even the mitzvah of tshuva, even granted that the mitzvah of tshuva is expensive. So we're going to now develop these two different options. So the first option is to say that the way in which the original avera is mechayev tshuva is basically by narrowing in a very significant fashion, the gedder of tshuva. And who says this idea? You saw in the Mamakomos. This idea that the original avera is mechayev tshuva because tshuva is nothing more than just not violating the avera again. This is the Meshach Chachma. Right, the Meshach Chachma has this idea, if you see in the Makoros, whereas Medayik in the Rambam, in the famous Lashon in the Rambam, Kishiyase tshuva, right, where you basically, the Meshach Chachma, or Rameir Simcha, the Rosh Sameach, basically derives from that Lashon that there's no independent mitzvah of tshuva. So he basically says, so how do you wrap your head around that idea? So he says, because really all the mitzvah of tshuva is simply not to violate the avera a second time. Right? And once you narrow the gedder of tshuva to such an extent, once you say that all tshuva is, that no, you're a baal tshuva, that you're not going to violate the avera again, so then of course that's included within the original law. Because just like the original law said, don't eat nevela the first time, so, yeah, it's also going to tell you, don't eat nevela a second time. So that Meshach Chachma, in essence, the way he understands this fourth approach, that the original avera is mechayev tshuva, is basically by narrowing the gedder of tshuva and saying, all tshuva is simply not to violate the avera again. So let's see the Meshach Chachma's lashon inside, because you really have to see it to believe it. So if you see the Meshach Chachma on the Maror Komos page, towards the bottom of page 2, would you mind this one?
Starting from the beginning?
I'm starting from the beginning, yeah.
Okay. Niskashu rabin baza, damai lo moel atshuva.
Okay, so skip that for now. That's a little out of context.
Let's go into the shem tshuva kvima shemora shama.
Like shema, like that which its name implies.
Shemora shema. Ech nechshavas lebitzva shiashuv mi kislo velo yechta od. Halo below ha mitzva, v'tzuv omeid lebli lavar al mitzvah sashem isbarach.
So in essence, what did he just say? Like, the reason why there's no independent mitzvah of tshuva, he's about to midayik this in the Lashon HaRambam, is because all mitzvah, all tshuva seems to be is that you don't violate the second time. So of course that's included within the original law, because, meaning, what's the hav, you know, once you violated the law one time, it becomes mutter. So now you need a new independent mitzvah of tshuva to tell you it still applies? No, of course. The original law is going to include it. So again, what seems to be the assumption here, as I'm going to spell this out in a couple lines, is that the gedder of tshuva is simply not to repeat the avera again. So if you skip a bunch of lines, see the brackets? You see perish? So like right before that it says, V'chein hu lashon rabbeinu?
V'chein hu lashon rabbeinu v'helchos tshuva. Keshe yasa tshuva v'yashuv mechato. Perish, libli lachto.
So right, was it before? It's a perish. He's defining now what are the parameters of tshuva? What's the gather of tshuva?
Libli lachto machmas hatzivoy shehu mitzuva shelo lavar b'pam rishona kodem shachata. Bein mitzvah saseh, bein mitzvah shelo saseh.
So in essence, what did he just say? That the gather of mitzvah of tshuva is simply not to repeat the other. So once you take such, you know, a minimalistic, you know, narrow perspective on the gather of tshuva, it's not so difficult to understand why the entirety of tshuva is included within the first lav. And the Meshech Chachma here, I'm going to read inside right now, basically says the only chidushim associated with the tshuva process is really only the factors of vidui, right? The fact that you have to, you know, verbalize the process. And he says, oh, and if you're going to tell me that there's a chidush of Kabbalah ala asid, this idea to concretize the fact that you're not going to, you know, violate again. Again, that's not included in the original law. The original law never says you have to, like, concretize and say, I'm not going to violate the Nevela. The original law of the Nevela just says, don't violate the law. So he says, oh, you're going to ask the Kasha, doesn't there seem to be, you know, a Mechudash idea of Kabbalah? So he says, oh, that's included within Vidui. Right? Any Chiddush associated with the Tshuva process is all Nichlal in the Mitzvah of Vidui. Right, so therefore, the factor of no, what do you call it? And he also says the need to, like, you know, ask for forgiveness. So it's bakashas mechila, the factor of kabbalah asid, the factor of vidoy. All these chidushim are chidushim, but according to Meshech Chachma, those are not part of the gedder of tshuva. Those are all part of the separate mitzvah of vidoy, while the gedder of tshuva alone is simply not to repeat the avera. So before I take any questions, the problem with this approach is if you look closely at the Rambam's, you know, Gedder of Tshuva, it doesn't seem like this, that the Gedder of Tshuva for the Rambam, again, which the Meshech Chachma is trying to explain, the Rambam's Lashon Kishe Yasa Tshuva, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Beis, if anybody has the Rambam in front of them, that'd be helpful. Yeah, so the Rambam, Beis, so there the Rambam is Magdir Tshuva, and it's very clear that the Rambam doesn't think that Tshuva is simply limited to not violating the Avera again, but there are additional components, as we'll see, of Kabbalah La'asid and factor of Charata, again, remorse on the past, and Kabbalah La'asid in the future. He includes both of those factors within the Gedder of Tshuva, and again, those factors are Chidushim, which do not seem to be included within the original laws. Again, this is problematic. The Meshech Chachma's Pirush and Rambam doesn't seem to work for the Rambam's own Gedder of Jews. Let's see, Aaron, if you don't mind, Beis, where the Rambam is Magdir Tshuva.
Umayya Tshuva, Hushayazu
Bachot. Right, basically, what is Tshuva? He hasn't defined it yet.
Yeah, so Hushayazu Bachot Echeto, Vyasiru Mimachshavaso, Vyigmor Velibo Shaloya Asehu Ode, Shnamor Yazo Brashadar Gobodo.
Right, so far, he's basically said, okay, you have to leave the sin. Okay, that's so far as the Meshech Chachma, but that's it. But he also adds the yigmur belibo shlo yaseyu kabbalah asid. Again, this is all within the gedder, the parameters of tshuva. And furthermore, so he not only kabbalah asid, but also regret, right? Regret on the past. So again, that's another reference to Kabbalah Asid. We're going to discuss, hopefully, towards the end of this year, what's this. It's a strange formulation. He starts with the Kabbalah Asid, goes to Charata in the past, and then goes back to Kabbalah Lasid. Like, what's the Rambam doing there? But for our purposes now, it's clear that the Rambam doesn't limit Tshuva to simply not doing the Aveira again. He includes not only not doing the Aveira again, but also the Charata on the past, and Kabbalah Lasid. So the question is there any way to justify this fourth approach of this expanded, gedder of Tshuva, still being nichlal in the original there? Is there any way to formulate, the original there in such a manner that it can include even this more expansive approach? We're about to suggest that, but before, Hita.
We're going through the Mashiach Chochma. It took it very much to be saying the same thing as the Avodas HaMelech.
Yeah, so it's similar, but a slightly different in the sense that it's, I would say, 75% the same, but the difference lies in the following. In that, according to the Mashal Chachma, all tshuva is not to violate the Avera, and therefore the Mashal Chachma can say that the entirety of the mitzvah of tshuva is included in the original law. The Avodas HaMelech says that tshuva is not only not to violate the Avera a second time, but it's also to have charata. So if it's a melech, has to work hard to say, so where did that come from? Where did the charata come from? So he says, that's also pashut, right? That, because, any God-fearing person will for sure, regret what he did. So again, that added nuance is the difference between, you're right, generally. So
basically, what you're saying is, the Mashiach Chachma does not have the questionable assumptions that the Avodas HaMelech has, because he limited the getter or to make it self-evident in the lav, but in doing so, disassociate himself from Rambam.
As it seems, even though he's trying to explain the Rambam. Yeah, okay. He's not even, it's one thing to say, he was going on a ledge, going on his own. He's trying to explain the Rambam. So, but in doing so, for sure, he seems to cut out, major components of the getter of mitzvah of tshuva in order to facilitate, putting tshuva and the original lav together. But you're right. The Avodas HaMelech and the Mashiach Chachma are similar, but that Nekuda of Charata is a big difference. Fine. So I'd like to now suggest, this is not my idea, I've seen this, in a number of Achronim, I've heard this idea from my father-in-law as well. The following very, very Mechudash perspective on Averos and Mitzvos in general, which I'm a big fan of. Right, and again, the goal now, we're trying to understand, is there any way to formulate Averos in general in such a manner to be able to say that even this more expanded version of Tshuva is Nichlal in the original Avera. So the following idea is suggested. And that is to say, let's do with a particular Avera. When you have an Avera of Nevela, the Lav of Nevela. So the classical way of understanding Lav is that the Lav says, it's limited to the following. Don't eat Nevela. That's the classical understanding of how you interpret that law. But according to the following approach, the gedder of really every Avera is much broader than that. It's not just don't eat this Nevela. It's rather, hold on to your seats, don't distance yourself from Hashem by performing this Avera. Again, nichlal in every lav, again in the negative, and this also plays out in the positive, but now in the negative, is not just, don't do this avera, but it's rather, don't distance yourself from Hashem through performing this avera. That nichlal, right, part of the gedder of the avera is the fact that you're commanded not to distance yourself by doing that avera. Which is, before going forward, is like a very important, paradigm shift in the way you approach averos and mitzvos. Again, it's not just don't do these actions, but part of the avera itself is the impact that will have on the relationship. And the ikur is don't distance yourself from Hashem through doing this avera. And if this carries over to mitzvos, again, not our topic, but it's not just shake the lulav, but bring yourself closer to God al yedei in the tilas lulav. Again, very important perspective. And now carrying that over to here. Now, once you take this perspective on, let's say, Averos, but dealing with Tshuva, when the original Avera is formulated as such, don't distance yourself through this Avera. So once you go ahead and violate the Avera and thereby distance yourself from God through that Avera. So that original Avera, which said don't distance yourself through God, is now mechayev you to neutralize that distance that was caused by violating the Avera. So again, while the Meshach Chachma, you know, bridged the gap between the original Lav and Tshuva by limiting the Gedra of Tshuva, here is the opposite. We're bridging the gap between the original Lav and Tshuva by expanding our the scope and our understanding of all of it. Again, that Nichlo in the Lav itself is the relationship factor. Don't distance yourself from a Kodesh Baruch Hu through this Avera, and thereby, once you do that, once you commit the Avera and you know create that distance between you and God, that same Avera, which said don't utilize this Avera to you know create a gap between you and God, is now mechayev you to neutralize that gap. So according to this understanding, I think we can now understand the steer in the Rambam. Are we basically presenting yesterday that there seems to be a steer in the Rambam? On the one hand, and the Rambam, right, Alacha and Hilchos Tshuva, Aleph Aleph, basically downplays the mitzvah of Tshuva and says, Kishe Yaseh Tshuva, implying there's no mitzvah of Tshuva. On the other hand, the Koteres and the Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam, plays up the fact that there is a mitzvah of Tshuva. But now, according to this approach, we're able to resolve the stira by saying that the Rambam in these different places is focusing from different vantage points, from different perspectives. And basically saying that in Aleph Aleph, when the Rambam downplays the mitzvah of Tshuva and says there is no mitzvah of Tshuva, that's because the Rambam there in Aleph Aleph is speaking about, right, from the perspective of vidui and independent makoros. And basically saying, right, basically in the Aleph Aleph, he's like searching for, you know, is there an independent makor for vidui? Yes, there's a pasuk of vidui. In the context of Aleph Aleph, when he's looking for independent makoros, and the question is there an independent makor for Tshuva? The answer is no, according to this approach. There's no independent mitzvah of Tshuva. And therefore, from the perspective of looking for an independent makor, the answer is Kishe Yaseh Tshuva, there's no mitzvah. But yet, when the Rambam in the Koteres and in Sefer Mitzvos basically indicates there is a mitzvah, that's coming to say, yeah, when you look at it from a different perspective, i.e. from the perspective of the original Lav, there is a mitzvah. So in short, if you have a steer in the Rambam, some Rambam's implying that there is a mitzvah, and some Rambam's implying that there's no mitzvah, so the way to resolve that steer is that the Rambam is speaking from different perspectives. To say that from the perspective of an independent mitzvah, from the perspective of like an independent makor, an independent mitzvah, tshuva is not a mitzvah. There's no independent mitzvah of tshuva. But from the perspective of you know the original lavim, there is a mitzvah. And therefore that's a way to basically resolve the seer in the Rambam is to say that he's focusing on different aspects in the different places. So now, just to bring a couple of rayos to this idea in the Rambam and elsewhere that this component of the distance created by an Avera plays a fundamental role in Tshuva. In the sense that, you know, that the Avera creates a distance between a person and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby that the mitzvah of Tshuva is to negate that distance, which is, I think, which is a core aspect of this Mahalach. Again, in this Mahalach is just adding that, you know, that the tzibur to negate that distance is coming from the Avera itself. But again, a big part of this Mahalach is that the Mechayev of Tshuva is that distance, and the Mechayev of Tshuva is to neutralize that distance to bring someone closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, the Rambam formulates the difference between a person pre-tshuva and post-tshuva in terms of the difference between a person who is distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a person who is close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, you have it, Aaron? I guess you'll be our Rambam reader for tonight. Is he Emesh Haya?
Isn't Zayin Vav?
Zayin Vav, yeah.
Emesh Haya is a son of Lithne Amakam Meshukat Zumaruchat Bitaweva.
Oh, so there's a couple different descriptions here.
Yeah.
Right, is it yesterday, before Tshuva, you were Sanoi, which is
I hated.
Meshukat, despised, we'll say, disgusting. And the key for our purposes, umiruchak, and distance. Again, here you have this component, the distance. Vito eva, another good English word for that, abominable. I think that's the article, that's the translation. Rabbi Hayom, post-tshuva, you are
Vayom hu ahuv.
Beloved.
Venechmad. Karo v'yadid. Are those all in, like, are those all the opposites in,
yeah,
in a specific order that you
I think so. I think so, which is interesting, yeah. Yeah, Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, but a big component of this Rambam is that he's stressing, among the other things, is that pre-tshuva, you're meruchak, your distance. Post-tshuva, you're karov. So in line with this Rambam, the Rav in Ala Tshuva, I was very excited when I saw this, because I saw this after Talat Nezal Mahalach. So the Rav in Ala Tshuva, pages 52 to 57, again, is medayik, it basically develops this very idea. That the essence of tshuva is negating the distance that was caused by the avera. Right? The avera causes a distance between the person and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the purpose of tshuva is to negate that distance to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he develops that, and in doing so, he explains the following three ideas. Number one, the term tshuva itself. He points out that tshuva itself is about drawing one, like shav, to return. It's all about returning oneself closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, even, right, licked in the term tshuva itself is this idea that the purpose of the process is to bring oneself closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Point number two. He develops a lot about this, but when the Rambam formulates, you know, the mitzvah of vidui, the Rambam says that you're supposed to perform vidui lifnei hakel, in front of God. So the Rav basically, you know, in his beautiful fashion, basically develops the question, like, you're always in front of God. What does that mean, you doing vidui in front of God? You do everything in front of God, right? We believe that God, you know, sees everything. So what does that mean, doing vidui? Why does the Rambam formulate doing vidui lifnei hakel? So he says, since the whole purpose of tshuva, and thereby vidui, is to bring oneself closer to God, that's why the Rambam formulates vidui as lifnei hakel, because the whole point, the goal of the process is to become lifnei, you know, not only to be done in front of, but to become close to God, and therefore that you're doing it, we call lifnei hakel in terms of in close proximity to God. That's the way, yeah.
That was something you said, also, like, when you did the avera, that you, like, kind of said, like, Hashem's not a friend to me.
Oh, very good. That's another approach he develops. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Yeah. By doing an avera, you're basically taking God away, which I think is not unrelated, which is double negative, which is related. I think that's part of the distance. Right? I mean, part of the reason why, you know, avera distances one from God is exactly what you're hitting on. It's a great point, Yonah, is this point of, you know, by doing an avera, you're basically taking God out of the equation, sort of like putting him in the corner and ignoring him. That's what creates that distance. But excellent point.
How did this explain the Rambam and Sefer?
You mean in terms of the stira?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just finish this one point and then I'll take some. Sorry, I didn't take it before. So the third, you know, idea that the Rav explains based on this whole idea of distance is, you know, the first two midos in the Yud Gimel midos, which is Hashem Hashem. Right? Hashem Hashem, Kavach Machanun. And, you know, it's, well, I think it's the Gemara which says, what's the idea of Hashem Hashem? Why do you repeat that? And so it's the Gemara, I think, says, it's Hashem Kodem Achet, Hashem Acher Achet. Right, they were talking about and referring to Hashem before the Chet and after the Chet. So the obvious question is, like, what does that mean? It's a different God. So basically the Rav develops that, you know, all these attributes are the way we relate to God. And based on this Yisod, we relate to God differently before the Chet and after the Chet, because before the Chet, we're relating to God in, you know, in a mode of closeness. After the chet, you're relating to God in a completely different mode of distance. And therefore, that's the way the Rav explains the idea of Hashem Hashem, Hashem lefnei achet versus Hashem la'achar achet, because there's a different relationship pre and post chet. The relationship pre the chet is a relationship of kirva, of closeness, and the relationship after the chet is that of richuk, of distance. So again, number one, the term tshuva, the formulation of lefnei hakel, and this idea of Hashem Hashem. Again, the Rav is basically all explaining all these different ideas in line with this general approach that, you know, that the avera creates that distance, and the purpose of tshuva is to negate that distance. And we're just adding in light of this broader approach that once you formulate the gedder of all averos to be, don't distance yourself through the avera, So then, once that's the gedder hadvarim, so then the avera itself is mechayev you to negate that distance and to bring oneself closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So getting back to the original point, what we're trying to say is that, meaning sometimes when you have it's an interesting methodological point. When you have a blatant steer in the Rambam, right? The Rambam seems to say two different things in two different places. One time it says the tshuva is a mitzvah, and one time it says it's not a mitzvah. So one way to go about, a brisker way of going about explaining such a stira is to say the Rambam is not contradicting himself, he's just talking from different perspectives. So Mashal Ma'ad Avridoma is, yeah, like the Rav, yes or not. Where he was mechalek between the Koteris and Aleph Aleph by saying, in the Koteris, he's talking from the perspective of a Kiyam Shebelev, and Aleph Aleph, he's coming from the perspective of a Maisa Mitzvah. So the perspective of Maisa Mitzvah, Tshuva is really nothing. The perspective of Kiyam Shebelev, Mitzvah, Tshuva is something. So we're saying that same idea of trying to say that the way to resolve the steer is by saying that the Rambam in the different places is focusing from a different perspective in each place. So instead of being mechalek between a kiyam shebelev and like a maisa mitzvah like the Rav was doing, you can say that the different perspectives are, whether we're dealing from the perspective of tshuva as an independent mitzvah or tshuva as, coming from shar averos. So we're saying when it comes to tshuva as an independent mitzvah, that's what the Rambam and Aleph is discussing, and therefore he downplays the mitzvah of tshuva, because it's not an independent mitzvah. There's no pasuk according to the Rambam which says, oh, there's a new independent mitzvah of tshuva. So in the perspective of Aleph, where he's discussing the independent makor for vidu, and he's discussing like independent dinim, so in that context, Aleph, he downplays and says kishiyasa tshuva, because from the perspective of an independent mitzvah, there is no independent mitzvah of tshuva. But in the Koteris, where he's, there is a different vantage, he's not looking for, independent mitzvah, he's saying, like, bottom line, is there any source for the mitzvah of tshuva? Their answer is, there is a mitzvah. Because, there is, like, an imperative. Because the imperative is stemming from the original law, the original other. So that's the way we want it, yeah.
Two questions. First of all, if it's not an independent mitzvah, why does it have its own entry in Sefer HaMitzvahs?
So it doesn't... It's alongside vidui.
Ah, okay.
So, the question was just that, but in Sefer HaMitzvos, he formulates it as an imperative, which is a stira to kishayase. The answer is, it's not its own. It doesn't have an independence, in terms of the minyan HaMitzvos, it's not independent.
And the other thing with, the Rav's idea of Lefnei Hashem, isn't Lefnei Hashem the result, not the maisa of the vidui? Meaning?
Yeah, so he thinks... Because when the Rambam is formulating to perform vidui, I think it's in the Koteris. You check the Koteris to the tshuva. Do you say it there?
I read it.
Yeah.
Mitzvah zaseyacha zvushi yishav achoti mechet olipin yashav yisvada.
Yeah. Right. Kishy yashav achoti mecheto vi lifnei Hashem vi yisvada. Yeah. So again, it's a questionable read, but he's saying that's the goal. The goal is to perform, when you're getting ready to perform vidui, you're doing that with the mentality of lifnei Hashem, because it's through this process you're going to accomplish that lifnei Hashem. That's what he understands. I hear you. You're saying chronologically.
He's conflating the
goal and the goal and the process.
Yeah,
I hear that.
Oh, and one other thing, it's when you have a point this big, you would kind of expect to see evidence for it in Chazal, because it's just that big of an idea that you expect to find something earlier than the Rambam.
Yeah, so it's actually funny.
Is there any evidence for that?
Yeah, so it's actually funny when I said to my, I heard this from my father-in-law, I actually gave a shir, actually in KBY, in front of my father-in-law, and I quoted a certain Achron who says this, and he says, yeah, I think there are a lot of Mamari Chazal which have this idea as well. So again, I have to pin down which ones they were, but he thought that, I don't know how...
a suggestion?
Yeah?
As if the Rambam needs, not as if the Rambam needs any of my proofs, whatever.
Go for it.
The worse than the dirt that he walks on.
No one even is required. Yeah, go.
I think there's like a there's medrash that says that like it was Allah the Machshava before Briyas Olam.
Just the Midas Adem, Midas Rachman?
The Tshuva was Allah the Machshava. Like there were like a bunch of things that were like Allah the Machshava, and like one of them is Tshuva. So like if Tshuva is, you know, just like another mitzvah, then it would be very odd to make that kind of statement. But if like tshuva is like sort of fundamental to every single mitzvah of Torah, it would make sense that it would be like so fundamental that Hashem like planned that, had that in mind,
kibiyachol before. Okay, very good. I like that. I mean, that shows the mitzvah of tshuva is not just like a prat within the sixth turning, but it's like this overarching concept which within this approach, it's part and parcel of every single avera. Every avera basically has the potential to mechayev tshuva. Yeah.
We said originally, I think originally Hashem made the world with midas adin. If it wasn't, would there really be tshuva if like you were just right away before you did?
Yes, that's an interesting concept. Actually, heard getting a little off topic, but when I went back for a bris at the beginning of the year, actually my brother-in-law, my wife's older brother Ariel Rosenzweig, actually his drasha at the bris was about the idea that tshuva is really part of me this day. So yes, we're gonna discuss this. We're not going to. That's the part that's right after. We don't have time for it. There's a whole discussion about whether tshuva exactly, whether tshuva is midin or not. Is it a matana, or is this idea of that your current perspective on things is, you know, lima freya defines the past. So this is a whole discussion, but it's a good point. But on this, there is, as they say.
I'll
try later. Yeah, exactly. I can give you a chorus if you want. Oh, fine. So now, which is called the Nofech Mishali, my added point is as follows. So now we've basically developed this idea that the mechayev of tshuva, right, is the distance, you know, created by the avera, and because part of the gather of each avera is to not distance yourself through this avera, and therefore the mechayev of the tshuva is that distance which is caused by the avera. So one now has to take a step back or to be ma'ayin further in terms of what is the source of that distance. What is the source of the distance triggered by the avera, thereby is mechayev tshuva? So first kind of like that's pashat. We're going to say it's not so pashat. So we're going to suggest there are two different possibilities. So I would say the more intuitive approach is, if I were to ask you, what do you think is the source of the distance?
The avera itself.
Exactly. The pashtus is the fact that you violated the avera in the past. Right? The past violation of the avera is what creates that distance between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which thereby is mechayev you and tshuva, according to this approach. That's, I would say, the classic way of understanding it. I would like to suggest an alternative, which we're hopefully going to prove in the Rambam, based on a number of different factors, that perhaps really, the main source of the distance between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and a person, which is thereby Mechayev Tshuva, is not the past violation of the Avera, but is rather the person's current association with the Avera. Again, I'll let that settle in. The main, again, these are the two options. Is the driving force behind the distance the past violation of the Avera? Or is it a person's current association with the avera? We have to explain what that means to be currently associated with an avera, but
meaning his inability or his failure to restore, to rectify it.
Not only, I would say, it mainly is his current mindset of still being in the mindset of, you know, if he was to be presented with the avera again, would he violate again? Was he like Ozeb, you know, the Chet Machshavto, to use Lashon's Rambam? Was he basically, is he now like a new person who would never do that Avera? And again, I'm going to suggest that for the Rambam, it seems that the lingering current association with the Avera, right, the fact that the person is still in that same state of mind, which, you know, that you were in the past when you violated the Avera, that you were, meaning if you were still, if you still retain that same state of mind, that if you were to be presented with the Avera again, you would do it again. I'd like to suggest that it seems from the Rambam, from a number of factors, that that current association with that continual association with the Avera, that is really the main source of distance. So it's not the past violation, but it's rather the fact that you haven't moved on from the past, and the fact that the same mindset which caused you to violate originally is still present in your mindset. And again, this is a huge chiddush. We'll hopefully prove it in just a moment. We'll start to prove it in just a moment. Then again, that a bigger deal, right? Meaning, bigger than the fact that you violated the Avera in the past is the fact that you would theoretically still violate it in the present. And in terms of assessing, you know, whether you're close or, you know, far from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a fascinating thing, if we prove this to be true, that it's not what you did in the past which is really, you know, creates that wedge between you and Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's really based on your present, you know, your present state of mind and your present association or disassociation with the Avera.
What do we mean when we say, like, distant from Hashem? Meaning, like, obviously it's not a spatial concept.
Sure.
So what exactly do we mean by that?
Well, just to use the Rambam's terms, there's an idea, or to use, like, you know, Yonah's, you know, idea, is that, well, the Rambam is basically telling us, again, this is our big concepts, but basically, when you're being Obed Hashem, and you're basically placing, Yonah's, you know, perspective, which I like, is that, you know, that God is very much, you know, in the forefront of, not just of your mind, but of your life. You're living a life where God is close, where you recognize God's presence, and you basically live a life based on that. So when you're living a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and you're not violating Averos, you can view God as being, you being close to God, because that, you know, the presence of God is very much impactful in terms of the way you live your life. But when, I think that's what you're saying, right? But when you violate an Avera, that creates a distance. So one way to understand that distance is because you're basically, you know, God is not in the picture. You're living a life as if God did not command you to do anything, and as if He's, you know, His command, His tzivuyim, are not, is not, you know, present in your mind, in your life, and, you know, dictating the way you run your life.
So basically what you're saying is distance means lack of privacy in one's life.
That's one way to say it. And therefore, and again, so one, even within that approach, one could have said, still could have said these two approaches. Is it that, you know, and therefore the fact that you did that Avera, that, you know, that caused, you know, the fact that you violated that Avera, which shows, you know, a distancing of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what's koveya, the distance? Or is it your current mindset, which is like a big, big chiddush, that more impactful in terms of the richuk and the kiruv to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, more impactful than the past actual violation of the Avera is your current mindset, which is a huge chiddush, I think. So now, let's try, and again, let's try to prove that. We're going to bring, well, three impacted issues, three different issues, which seem to present themselves as test cases about whether the main focus of tshuva is on the past violation, or is it on your current mindset and your current association with the Avera. And again, through this, hopefully we'll also concretize, like, what exactly the difference between these, you know, the difference between focusing on the past violation or the current association, I think hopefully will become clear. So then the first issue, the first test case, would be, this is more general, the overall, let's say, the general primary focus of tshuva. Is the focus of tshuva neutralizing the past, or is the focus of tshuva the present? Again, as you can imagine, according to the first version, that everything's about, you know, the mechayev, the cause of the distance is the past Avera, you would think that tshuva should be all focused on the past, neutralizing that past violation. But according to the second approach, that really the focus is all on your current association with the Avera and your current mindset, so then the focus of tshuva should all be on the presence. Oh, alas, when the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, defines what is tshuva gemura. It's like a famous, famous Rambam. But again, if there's something like, you know, especially when something's famous, it's like something that's like reassess.
So what is the Rambam's famous idea about Tshuva Gemura?
Same situation.
Would you do it again? So it's fascinating if you think about it in these terms. The Rambam is saying is the essence of Tshuva has nothing to do with relating to what you did in the past. It's about what you would do in the present if you were faced with the same exact situation. So I think this is the first indication that the Rambam thinks that the essence of Tshuva, in our terms, the source of the distance, which is the essence of Tshuva, is not the past. Because if that was the case, then Tshuva Gemura would have to be focused on how, you know, Tshuva Gemura, what's the best way to relate, to negate the past? But no, says the Rambam, the focus of Tshuva Gemura, the epitome of Tshuva, is that you've created a current mindset such that, right, you created a current mindset such that if you were to be, you know, if you were to be confronted with that same situation, you have corrected yourself and fixed yourself to the extent that currently you are of a, you know, a different mindset, that currently you're of a mindset that you would not do the Avera again. So again, I think the first indication of the focus is on the present is the Rambam's famous formulation of Tshuva Gemura being one that you, it's all about whether you'd violate the Avera again. Fascinating, not about relating to the past Avera, but whether you would violate it again, whether your current mindset, whether your current mindset towards the Avera is one where you've disassociated yourself from the Avera, or whether you still have a lingering association with the Avera.
These options are not mutually exclusive, are they? I mean, it could be, it's also true, right? He says elsewhere, Shiyazov
v'nachet. We'll get there.
Both are true. You know?
So, we'll get there. I think in terms of the question now we're asking, what is the primary? So, and again, I think through, you'll see all three issues that we're going to discuss, I think it comes out from all of them, the Rambam is consistently focusing on the present and really downplaying the past. And we'll get to that Rambam you just quoted in a second. So again, the Rambam, the Tshuva Gemura Rambam, I think is the first, I think really good example that the focus of Tshuva, according to the Rambam, is all in the present. I think another Raya, again, this is not in the Rambam, another Raya, that the focus, that the essence of Tshuva is about your current, you know, mindset, is the Rabbeinu Yonah that I had you see. Right? The Rabbeinu Yonah invokes, you know, a mashal that you find other people also doing, where he basically, when discussing, you know, the performance of vidui without Tshuva, what's the mashal that the Alav Rishonim call, say? Exactly. Tovel, right, v'sheretz b'yadam. Right, which seems to be the analogy, it seems that, you know, Tovel v'sheretz b'yado seems to be, right, and therefore the point is, you have to be, you know, to throw away, hashlachas hasheretz, as they call it, you have to throw away the sheretz, you have to do tshuva, right, the hashlachas hasheretz is compared to the performance of tshuva, before you do your tzila, before you do your vidui. That's the setup. But it's fascinating, if you look very closely at the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, this is in Shara Aleph, I forgot even what it's called. Aleph, we'll call it Aleph Beis. I don't know, but it's Shara Aleph. I don't know how to. Ospeis, Para. I don't know exactly how to break it up. But it's fascinating when the Shari Tshuva is explaining this mashal, right, and explaining this breakdown between Hashlachas Hasheretz, which is Tshuva, and the, you know, Tzvila, which is Vidui. So if you go back to, you go look at the Mar Makomos, if you look at the last line in the Shari Tshuva, and you don't have the, Eitan, you have the line, you see the last line, it's V'hine Azivas.
V'hine Azivas, Machshavas HaKvit, Hi Hashlachos HaSheretz, Machoratam Hasher HaKvit, V'Havidoi, V'Tzvilam, V'Makon HaTzvilam.
Look very carefully. So how does he define Hashlachos HaSheretz, which is the parallel to Tshuva, presumably? Right, that the essence of tshuva is the azivas machshava sachet. What does that mean? Which is that your current mindset is no longer a mindset of chet. Right, and he puts charata, which again is, it's about the past, and the vidui on the past. We'll suggest moving forward. That's all part of vidui. So, you know, what seems to come out, and we're going to prove this later also within the Rambam, that the essence of tshuva is all about your present mindset. It's about azivas machshavas hachet. Well, anything relating to your past sin,
That's the role of vidui. So again, in line with the Rambam, I think, again, it's a careful diuk, that Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, has a similar idea, again, to diuk, that really the essence of tshuva, the gedra of hashlachas hasheretz, is azivas machshavas achid, which I believe, azivas machshavas achid, is that your current mindset being one, which is no longer a mindset of sin, that you've basically attained a new mindset that you will no longer sin in the present and moving forward. So again, both in the Rambam's Tshuva Gemura and Rabbeinu Yonah's, you know, characterization of Hashlachas Hasheretz, I think you have here two examples of Rishonim, or when they're defining the essence of Tshuva, are focusing exclusively on the present state of mind of the person and not focusing on the past. Which again, I think is one indication that, you know, that the focus of Tshuva, the focus of the distance, is really the current mindset, the current association with the chet, and not the past violation of chet. So Adkan is the quote. The first issue, which is just seeing, you know, how Rishonim define the essence of tshuva. The second issue, which I think is also a very good test case, is the relationship between charata and kabbalah ala asir. Right, charata is focused on the past, right? You regret that which you did in the past. And Kabbalah La'asid is all about moving forward. So as you could probably see already. So if...
Yeah. That's why the Rambam lists Kabbalah La'asid twice.
Oh, very good, very good. That's exactly where we're going to get there. Exactly. So if there was a question of, you know, whether, let's say, the Rambam, of these two factors of, you know, charata on the past and Kabbalah La'asid on the future, if we were to prove that these two factors are connected, and then you have to say that one is really just, you know, a shear in the other, explain exactly what that means. So the question of how you interpret that, whether the ikur is really the past or whether the ikur is the present, again presents itself as another good test case, whether the essence of tshuva is the past or the present slash future. To explain what I mean by that. So the Rav already, is there his piece in Hari Kedem, points out that it's fascinating that when you look at the Rambam's formulation of both Charata and Kabbalah al-Asid, in both Halacha Aleph Aleph and Halacha Beis Beis, the Rambam always puts these two factors together. He doesn't say, oh, like, you know, these are two separate factors. One is always connected to the other. So the question is, in which direction is the connection? So the way, so I would say, approach number one would take it, and this is the way the Rav takes it, right? If you're approach number one person, right, the first version, that everything, the real focus is on the past. So if you were to say, you know, one is tuffle to the other, I would say, charata on the past is really the ikker, because the whole focus is on neutralizing that past avera. So therefore, the focus should be neutralizing by showing charata, showing remorse for the past. And what would be the role of Kabbalah Asid? Kabbalah Asid would be a way of saying that you can't really have remorse. You can't claim to be, you know, to have true, sincere remorse on the past if you're not even sincere about not doing it in the future. How can you claim that you really feel bad about having violated the Avera if you plan on doing it in the future? And this is, in fact, the way the Rav takes it. Right? This is the Rav in Hari Kedem, Simon Mem Beis. The Rav points out the fact that the Rambam, and we'll see the Lashonos in just a moment, in both in Aleph Aleph in the context of Vidui and in Beis Beis in the context of Tshuva, the Rambam always puts Charata on the past and Kabbalah Al Asid, he always puts them together. And the way the Rav understands it is that really the Ikar is Charata on the past, and the Kabbalah Al Asid, we'll call it, is a shear in your Charata. Because you can't truly have Charata on the past without Kabbalah La'asid. Again, if you can't, you know, if you can't concretize the fact that you're not going to do it in the future, how can you really claim that you really have sincere remorse in the fact that you did it in the past? So that's the way the Rav understands it. Again, very much in line with approach number one. Again, the Rav is consistent with this. The Rav really, in a number of places, thinks the focus is on the past, and therefore it's not surprisingly that he says really the focus is on the past, and the future is just a simon, really, to show your sincerity on the past. But the problem with this Pshat and the Rav, and this will get us to it.
You can also formulate it as a result of the Harata, not necessarily as the sheer of the Harata.
In what sense?
If you regret it so much, then as a result, you won't.
Okay, that's going to play into approach number two. I'll get that in a moment. So the problem with this, I understand that really Harata is the main, is really the hikar. So if you go back to Beis Beis, where the Rambam is discussing the essence of tshuva, as Aaron pointed out, there, you're going to see the Rambam starts with Kabbalah Lasid and ends with Kabbalah Lasid and sandwiches the Harata in the middle. We'll read it in a moment. But again, if you thought that the Harata was really the Iker, that's a very strange way of saying it. Again, he starts with Kabbalah Lasid, he ends with Kabbalah Lasid, and he just puts Harata in the middle. So to me, and I'll read this in just a moment, it seems in the Rambam presentation in Halacha Beis, it's really the opposite. Again, in line with our approach. That really the focus is on the present moving to the future. And the Harata is really just a simen to Kabbalah Lasid. But we'll get to that in a moment. Let's just see, read this inside. Just know whenever you have a chance. Aaron?
From where?
Just read the whole thing. Exactly. So you're starting off with Kabbalah Lasid. Then right. Then he goes on to Harata on the past. But then he repeats again. Exactly. So again, I think the Rambam's focus in Beis Beis when he's discussing the essence of tshuva is really mostly focused on the present slash future. And again, I think this really works out with what we've been developing. Again, the Rambam, again, whenever he's faced with a choice of focusing on the past or on the present slash future, the Rambam is always focusing, at least in the realm of tshuva, on the future. And therefore, it could be the way to read this Rambam, according to this understanding, that really the Iker is Kabbalah Lasid. Therefore, he starts with Kabbalah Lasid. Then he says, but you need to have Harata in order to then, for us to be sure that V'yayid Olav Talumos, for God to be sure that you're not going to do it in the future. Because, similar in the flip that we had before, because if you don't really regret having done it in the past, how can we be sure that you're not going to do it in the future? At the flip of before. Sort of more in line with what you were saying before. Is that once you have a Harata, so then the result of that is an understanding that you're not going to do it in the future. Because once you regret having done it in the past, so then we can say, oh, you're sincere about claiming to not do it in the future. So again, not only when it came to the Rambam's, formulation of Tshuva Gemura, but even, that was Beis Aleph, and now in Beis Beis, when he's discussing, so what are the different parameters, what are the different components to Tshuva, the Rambam, again, is mostly focused on the present slash future, Kabbalah Asid, and it seems like he's only mentioning the factor of Harata as a shear in your Kabbalah Asid. The only reason why we need your Harata is to ensure that your Kabbalah Asid is really true. I think that's what he's saying. He first presents Kabbalah Lasid, that's the Iker. Then says Harata, only such that V'yeda Olav Yodea Talumos, such that God will know Shelo Yashiv Lazeh HaChel Olam, as a way of ensuring that you're not going to do it in the future. So again, with all focused towards towards the future, towards the present, moving towards the future. So again, which I think is the a second indication. That really for the Rambam, again, the main focus of tshuva is really on the present and the future, and not the past. Okay, so I think we're going to stop here, because in the next part of the things are makoros that you guys haven't seen. So any questions? I think there's a lot of stuff here, but if you have any questions, you can ask now, you can ask later, welcome to Marv. Okay, I'll stop here.